The Book of Daniel, number 85. Unveiling the prophetic journey, the divine connection of historical milestones, key takeaways. The article delves into the parallelism between the Millerite movement and the Future for America movement, emphasizing their connections through biblical symbolism, prophetic visions, and historical timelines. It highlights the significance of the unsealing of Daniel's prophecies in 1989, the role of reform movements, and the ongoing debate over correct biblical methodology. The impending outpouring of the Holy Spirit and the importance of receiving the latter rain message are also discussed in the context of the last days. In 1989, the last six verses of Daniel 11 were unsealed, revealing the reform lines of sacred history and their parallel nature. The light on these verses began unfolding in 1992, leading to public presentations in 1994, primarily focusing on the reform lines. The year 1996 marked the formalization of the message, drawing a parallel with the formalization of William Miller's message in 1831. Miller's message announced the opening of judgment, while the last six verses of Daniel 11 announced the close of judgment, with a focus on modern Rome as the counterfeit king of the north. Miller's methodology was the 14 rules of prophetic interpretation, while the methodology revealed in 1989 was the line upon line of the reform movements. Miller's work emphasized the authority of the Word of God over papal traditions, published in 1831, exactly 220 years after the King James Bible's production. Future for America identified the role of the United States in healing the papal wound with the Time of the End magazine published in 1996, also 220 years after the founding of America in 1776. The recognition of the 220-year connection tying reform movements together emerged after September 11, 2001, as the seven times were rediscovered, symbolizing a sacred connection. This 220-year period connected Miller's message in 1831 with the King James Bible's production in 1611, linking Future for America with the end of America. On October 22, 1844, significant prophecies were fulfilled, indicating that similar prophecies would be fulfilled at the impending Sunday Law. Habakkuk chapter 2 is associated with both the first and third angel movements, involving a debate over biblical methodology and a call for deeper consecration. The Lord's entry into his temple occurred on October 22, 1844, marking the beginning of the antitypical Day of Atonement and Judgment of the Dead. The Judgment of the Living commenced on September 11, 2001, with a process beginning within the house of God and extending outside. The 144,000 will be lifted up as an ensign, and the Judgment of the Living will commence for the other flock. Both the Millerite and Future for America movements represent an increasing revelation of truth, culminating in the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. The latter rain message is a focus of prophecies in the last days, symbolized by the oil. Jeremiah highlights the wickedness and decision-making of God's people in the last days, comparing them to the papal power. The message they refuse to hear is represented by stammering tongues and follows the methodology of line upon line. The latter rain began on September 11, 2001, as the work of salvation started closing. The outpouring of the Holy Spirit is crucial for the final proclamation of the third angel's message. The article concludes with warnings about delusions and the importance of recognizing the true foundation and spirit of godliness. 126 years after the rebellion of 1863, in 1989, the last six verses of Daniel 11 were unsealed. The knowledge that was first unsealed that year was the recognition of the reform lines of sacred history and the revelation that they all paralleled one another. Then in 1992, the light of the last six verses began to unfold. The first public presentations of these truths was in 1994, and the subject was the reform lines. In 1996, a magazine was published titled The Time of the End, which identified the last six verses of Daniel 11 was published. 1996 was the year that the message was formalized, which is a waymark that parallels the formalization of William Miller's message in 1831. Miller's message was the announcement of the opening of the judgment, And the last six verses of Daniel 11 was the announcement of the close of judgment. The subject of Miller's message was prophetic time as revealed in the Bible. The subject of the last six verses of Daniel 11 was modern Rome, the counterfeit king of the north. The methodology revealed to Miller was his 14 rules of prophetic interpretation. The methodology revealed in 1989 was the line upon line of the reform movements. Miller's work included the establishment of the Word of God as authoritative, in contrast with the papal traditions and customs that had been in force in the world for 1,260 years. For this reason, Miller's message was first published in 1831, thus formalizing Miller's message, exactly 220 years after the production of the King James Bible. The work of Future for America was the identification of the role of the United States in healing the deadly wound of the papacy at the soon coming Sunday Law. For this reason, The Time of the End magazine was published in 1996, thus formalizing the message, exactly 220 years after the beginning of the United States in 1776. The recognition of the 220 years that tied the theme of each reform movement together with a historical point of reference was not recognized until well after September 11, 2001. For it was not until the third woe arrived at that date that the Lord led his people back to the old paths of Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 16 and 17. It was there that the light of the seven times was rediscovered. And as that light developed, it became apparent that 220 is the number that connects Daniel 8, verses 13 and 14 together. In verse 13, the Chazon vision of prophetic history is identified. And in verse 14, the Marev vision of the appearance is identified. The connection between those two verses is what Gabriel came to teach to Daniel. And Daniel represents the people of God in the last days that come to understand the connection between those two visions. Verse 13's vision represents the seven times, 2,520 years, and verse 14's vision represents the 2,300 days, years. The seven times against the southern kingdom of Judah, which represents Judah, Jerusalem, and the sanctuary, began in 677 BC. And the 2,300 years identifying the restoration of Jerusalem and the sanctuary began in 457 BC. 220 years ties these two visions together. And the number 220 was recognized to be a symbol of the connection between the trampling down of the host and sanctuary by the desolating powers of paganism and papalism that is represented as a scattering and God's indignation. The 220 years tied the vision of the satanic work of trampling down the sanctuary together with the vision of the godly work of restoring the same temple. The 220 years, therefore, is a symbol that represents a sacred connection. Just as the Millerite movement ended at the rebellion of 1863, and then 126 years later, the movement of the third angel arrived, thus emphasizing that the two movements were connected by the symbolism of the seven times, 126. The 220 years connected Miller's establishment of the Bible message in 1831 with the production of the King James Bible in 1611. So too, the same period of time connected Future for America with the beginning of America as it identified the end of America. On October 22, 1844, the messenger of the covenant suddenly came to the temple d'Utrecht. He had raised up in 46 years from 1798, the end of the first indignation, until 1844, the end of the last indignation. His entrance into the temple had been preceded by the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in the movement of the midnight cry, which had been prefigured by the triumphal entry of Christ into Jerusalem. Those two witnesses establish that when the midnight cry movement is repeated in the last days, Christ will have raised up the temple of the 144,000. The two movements where the midnight cry of the parable of the ten virgins is fulfilled are parallel to each other. I am often referred to the parable of the ten virgins, five of whom were wise and five foolish. This parable has been and will be fulfilled to the very letter, for it has a special application to this time, and like the third angel's message, has been fulfilled and will continue to be present truth till the close of time. Review and Herald, August 19, 1890. The history of the Millerites, the movement of the first angel, represents an escalating manifestation of the power of God that began when the Book of Daniel was unsealed in 1798. The power increased when the angel of Revelation 10 descended on August 11, 1840. Then the first disappointment of April 19, 1844 arrived, and ultimately led to the outpouring of the Holy Spirit at the Exeter Camp Meeting, beginning on August 12, 1844, and continued to spread like a tidal wave over the land until October 22, 1844. The history of Future for America, the movement of the third angel, represents an escalating manifestation of the power of God that began when the Book of Daniel was unsealed in 1989. The power increased when the angel of Revelation 18 descended on September 11, 2001. Then the first disappointment of July 18, 2020 arrived, which will ultimately lead to the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, which will continue to spread like wildfire over the earth until Michael stands up and human probation closes. On October 22, 1844, several prophecies were fulfilled, thus identifying that at the soon coming Sunday Law, several prophecies will again be fulfilled. One of those prophecies is the tarrying of the vision, as represented in Habakkuk chapter 2. Habakkuk chapter 2 identified the experience of both the movement of the first and third angels. Both movements are confronted with a debate over correct biblical methodology that is accomplished between those representatives of the movement and the former chosen people who are being passed by during the process of the debate. The message that was to be defended by the watchman of the first angel's history was the identification of the truths, Miller's jewels, that ultimately were represented upon the two sacred charts of 1843 and 1850. In the process of the debate, there would be a disappointment that marked a separation from the two antagonistic classes and a call for deeper consecration to the faithful. Then Habakkuk identifies the distinction between the two classes involved in the testing process of the foundational truths. That testing process, which included the debate between the two classes that fell silent on October 22, 1844, ended right where Habakkuk chapter 2 ended. But the Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before him. Habakkuk 2:20. The Lord suddenly entered his Millerite temple, and all the earth was then to keep silence, for the antitypical day of atonement had arrived, and the judgment of the dead had begun. The prophetic history of Habakkuk chapter 2 ended on October 22, 1844, and Jesus always identifies the end of a thing with the beginning of a thing. The beginning of the two visions of 2,520 years of trampling down the sanctuary and host, and the vision of the restoration of the sanctuary and host began together but separated by 220 years, and when they ended, they were identified as ended in Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 20. At the soon coming Sunday Law, several prophecies will be fulfilled. One of those prophecies is the tarrying of the vision as represented in Habakkuk chapter 2. Habakkuk chapter 2 identifies the experience of both the movement of the first and third angels. Both movements are confronted with a debate over correct biblical methodology that is accomplished between those representatives of the movement and the former chosen people who are being passed by during the process of the debate. The message that is to be defended by the watchman of the third angel's history is the identification of the truths, Miller's jewels, that ultimately were represented upon the two sacred charts of 1843 and 1850. In the process of the debate, there was a disappointment that marked a separation between the two antagonistic classes and a call for deeper consecration to the faithful. Then Habakkuk identifies the distinction between the two classes involved in the testing process of the foundational truths. That testing process, which was represented by the debate between the two classes, will fully end at the soon coming Sunday Law, right where Habakkuk chapter 2 ended. But the Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before him. Habakkuk 2:20. The Lord will suddenly enter the temple of the 144,000, and all the earth will then keep silence, for the antitypical day of atonement will reach the judgment of the living. The prophetic history of Habakkuk chapter 2 ends at the soon coming Sunday law, and Jesus always identifies the end of a thing with the beginning of a thing. The judgment of the living began on September 11, 2001, but the judgment is a process. That process begins with the house of God, and then reaches a point where judgment comes upon those outside of the house of God. When the great buildings of New York City were brought down, the judgment represented by the sealing angel going through Jerusalem and placing a mark upon those who sigh and cry for the abominations that are done in the church, and also the abominations done in the land, began. At the soon coming Sunday law, Christ will have finished the work of erecting the temple of the 144,000, and the destroying angels will bring judgment upon Jerusalem. The 144,000 are then lifted up as an ensign, and the judgment of the living commences for the other flock, represented by Edom, Moab, and the chief of the children of Ammon in Daniel chapter 11, verse 41. Whether considering the Millerite movement of the first angel or the mighty movement of the third angel, the complete history of the reformatory movement represents an escalating revelation of truth, which culminates with the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. The outpouring of the Holy Spirit is the focus of the prophecies of the last days. This is why the foolish virgins have no oil and the wise do. The oil is the rain. They say, "If a man put away his wife, and she go from him, and become another man's, shall he return unto her again? Shall not that land be greatly polluted? But thou hast played the harlot with many lovers. Yet return again to me, saith the Lord. Lift up thine eyes unto the high places, and see where thou hast not been lean with. In the ways hast thou sat for them, as the Arabian in the wilderness. And thou hast polluted the land with thy whoredoms and with thy wickedness. Therefore the showers have been withholden, and there hath been no latter rain, and thou hadst a whore's forehead, thou refusest to be ashamed. Wilt thou not from this time cry unto me, my father? Thou art the guide of my youth." Jeremiah 3, 1-4. In the passage, and all the prophets speak of the last days, God identifies that his people have played the harlot to the point that they have a whore's forehead. The whore of the last days is the papal power, and the forehead represents a purposeful decision. God's people of the last days are wicked, but God is offering a final call, though they have reached a point where they have come to the same decision as the whore. They have developed a character represented by the fourth generation, where they are prepared to worship the sun, as represented in the fourth generation of Ezekiel chapter 8. The time has come for the true light to shine amid moral darkness. The third angel's message has been sent forth to the world, warning men against receiving the mark of the beast, or of his image in their foreheads or in their hands. To receive this mark means to come to the same decision as the beast has done, and to advocate the same ideas in direct opposition to the word of God. Of all who receive this mark, God says, "The same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation, and he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb." Review and Herald, July 13, 1897. Jeremiah is identifying God's people of the last days as already possessing the whore's forehead. They are on the verge of receiving the mark of the beast, for they are wicked. In the passage just cited, Sister White continues, "If the light of truth has been presented to you, revealing the Sabbath of the fourth commandment, and showing that there is no foundation in the Word of God for Sunday observance, and yet you still cling to the false Sabbath, refusing to keep holy the Sabbath which God calls my holy day, you receive the mark of the beast." When does this take place? When you obey the decree that commands you to cease from labor on Sunday and worship God, while you know that there is not a word in the Bible showing Sunday to be other than a common working day, you consent to receive the mark of the beast and refuse the seal of God. If we receive this mark in our foreheads or in our hands, the judgments pronounced against the disobedient must fall upon us. But the seal of the living God is placed upon those who conscientiously keep the Sabbath of the Lord. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God said unto Noah, The end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. They were to be cut off because they had polluted the earth which God created to be enjoyed by a righteous people. As it was in the days of Noah, declared Christ, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. And is it not so? Anyone who will look into the daily papers may see a long list of crimes: drunkenness, theft, robbery, embezzlement, murder. Sometimes whole families are murdered. That man's desires to possess money or goods that do not belong to him may be gratified. The world is indeed becoming as it was in the days of Noah, because men openly disregard God's commands. Review and Herald, July 13, 1897. Jeremiah is identifying God's people of the last days that are about to bow down to the sun, and when he does so, he identifies that the showers have been withholden, and there hath been no latter rain, and thou hadst a whore's forehead, thou refusest to be ashamed. The wicked of God's people in the last days are receiving no latter rain, and they refuse to be ashamed, for their thoughts have become continually evil, as represented by the history of Noah, and also by the chambers of imagery in the second abomination of Ezekiel chapter 8. Jeremiah points the unashamed wicked of God's people in the last days to cry from that time to the guide of their youth. The guide of the youth of Adventism was the two tables of Habakkuk and the jewels represented thereon. The only hope for breaking out of the wickedness that is about to bring eternal death upon the wicked of God's people in the last days is to cry unto the God who was the guide at the beginning, which arrived at the time of the end, in 1798. The issue in the history of the first or third angel is whether you receive or do not receive the latter rain. The latter rain began when the nations were angered on September 11, 2001. At that time, while the work of salvation is closing, trouble will be coming on the earth, and the nations will be angry, yet held in check so as not to prevent the work of the third angel. At that time, the latter rain, or refreshing from the presence of the Lord, will come, to give power to the loud voice of the third angel, and prepare the saints to stand in the period when the seven last plagues shall be poured out. Early Writings, 85. The latter rain, which is also identified as the refreshing, began when the nations were angered, and at that time the work of salvation began to close. The four angels of Revelation 7 hold the four winds in check, while the sealing of the 144,000 is accomplished. And in Ezekiel chapter 9, that work is represented by angels placing a mark upon those who sigh and cry for the abominations done in Jerusalem. On September 11th, 2001, the angels began the closing work of placing a mark upon the foreheads of the 144,000. The closing work of the third angel is accomplished during the outpouring of the latter rain, which is also the refreshing, which is a message, to whom he said, This is the rest wherewith ye may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing, yet they would not hear. Isaiah 28:12. The message they refuse to hear in Isaiah is the message that is delivered by stammering tongues, and is the testing message that represents the methodology of line upon line. But the word of the Lord was unto them precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little, that they might go and fall backward and be broken and snared and taken. Wherefore hear the word of the Lord, ye scornful men, that rule this people which is in Jerusalem. Because ye have said, We have made a covenant with death, and with hell are we at agreement. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, it shall not come unto us. For we have made lies our refuge, and under falsehood have we hid ourselves. Isaiah 28, 13-15. The word of the Lord, which is the message of the rest and refreshing, the latter rain, that causes them to go and fall backward and be broken and snared and taken, is given to the scornful men which rule this people which is in Jerusalem. Jerusalem is where the angels mark those who sigh and cry, and the ancient men who have betrayed their trust are the first to fall. The mark of deliverance has been set upon those that sigh and that cry for all the abominations that be done. Now the angel of death goes forth represented in Ezekiel's vision by the men with the slaughtering weapons, to whom the command is given. Slay utterly old and young, both maids and little children and women, but come not near any man upon whom is the mark, and begin at my sanctuary. Says the prophet, they began at the ancient men which were before the house. Ezekiel 9:1-6. The work of destruction begins among those who have professed to be the spiritual guardians of the people. The false watchmen are the first to fall. There are none to pity or to spare. Men, women, maidens, and little children perish together. The Great Controversy, 656. We will continue to address the increase of knowledge that arrived in 1989 in the next article. One who sees beneath the surface, who reads the hearts of all men, says of those who have had great light, they are not afflicted and astonished because of their moral and spiritual condition. Yea, they have chosen their own ways, and their soul delighteth in their abominations. I also will choose their delusions, and will bring their fears upon them, because when I called, none did answer. When I spake, they did not hear, but they did evil before mine eyes, and chose that in which I delighted not. God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Isaiah 66:3-4. 2 Thessalonians 2:11-10-12. The heavenly teacher inquired, what stronger delusion can beguile the mind than the pretense that you are building on the right foundation and that God accepts your works, when in reality you are working out many things according to worldly policy and are sinning against Jehovah? Oh, it is a great deception, a fascinating delusion, that takes possession of minds when men who have once known the truth mistake the form of godliness for the spirit and power thereof, when they suppose that they are rich and increased with goods and in need of nothing, while in reality they are in need of everything. Testimonies, Volume 8, 249. 250.